You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more. Every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Margareta Cederfeld, President of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe Parliamentary Assembly and member of the Swedish Parliament.
Political Periscope.
Recently, there were two OSCE meetings, Parliamentary Assembly and Ministerial Council. What has been achieved and what can you say after those very important meetings?
For me, it's obvious. It was two OSCE meetings. It was the autumn meeting for OSCE Parliamentary Assembly. And then it was followed by, and it was not normally following each other. So it was just a coincidence that there were two meetings after each other. The other meeting was the Ministerial Council on the governmental side. But it was a very different Ministerial Council than usual because it was originally blocked by Russia. And the Polish chairpersonship managed to arrange the meeting, but it was without a political statement because the decision process is consensus minus one. But I am very pleased that the Polish chairpersonship managed to hold a meeting on the ministerial side. And for me, what was achieved, it was that the two meetings had in common a huge support for Ukraine and against Russia's illegal aggressive war in Ukraine. And this was, for me, the main topic, the response, what I brought with me from the two meetings. It's that the OSCE, both on parliamentarian side and the governmental side, a majority of the countries stand behind Ukraine. And this is the important message.
Of course, Russia and Belarus cannot agree with this. They were present in which they were present on Ministerial Council, but neither Russian nor Belarusian delegation was present in Warsaw on Parliamentary Assembly.
Yes, how? That's correct. And I didn't take part in our annual session either. That was in Birmingham. And the UK delegation took their decision because it's all the members from the Russian delegation as well as from the Belarusian delegation are on the sanction list, both in US and the European Union, and as well from UK. And they decided to not let those who are on the sanction list into their country. When it comes to Warsaw, was it also the same decision? And our autumn meeting was held in the Polish parliament. And for Poland, it was important to not have any Russian person in or Belarusian person in their parliament. And I think this is nothing that OSCEPA should stand against because I can understand them. If it was my parliament, I'm sure we wouldn't either want Belarusian or Russian in our parliament. They are on the sanction list. And this is important to respect because their aggressive war against Ukraine.
I heard some voices during Parliamentary Assembly that Russia and Belarus should be excluded from the organization or at least suspended. But now there are no such procedures. Are there any plans to maybe introduce them?
First of all, there is a background, of course. And that is when we had our winter meeting, the 24th of February this year, it was the same day as Russia's war started. It was horrible to sit in a meeting room knowing that the war started, that the Ukrainian people were under attack. And we took, just as we have done earlier inside our CPA, we stand very firmly on Ukraine's side. When we hold our annual session in Birmingham, there were a supplementary item. It was a bill, can compare it with a bill from three. It's not national delegations, it's parliamentarians. From parliamentarians from Ukraine, US and Lithuania, where they proposed that OSCE Parliamentary Assembly should develop mechanisms to sanction a country who become serious aggression, military aggression against another member country. And this was accepted by all participants. All delegation voted in favor of this, and nobody was against. After this, did the Committee on the Rules of Procedure started to work to develop a mechanism for sanction. They did so. Nobody opposed it during this process. There were even those who wanted to make it stronger. And I and the chair of the committee, we were totally agreed that we need to have a debate before decision. For me, it's important that we as parliamentarians, we have a debate. We need to discuss what is our, why do we take certain steps and also stands. And after that, should there be a decision? When I arrived to Warsaw, before that, there were three letters arrived. One letter from Russia, one letter from Belarus, where they insisted that we shouldn't take any decision because they were not allowed to attend. There were also a letter from the U.S. delegation saying that they couldn't attend at the meeting, but they were in favor of a decision for sanction. And if they had been there, they would have voted for the suspension mechanism. And earlier there have been during the process also a letter from Lithuania where they really spoke in favor of the sanction mechanism. When I arrived to Warsaw, did the OSCE PA Secretariat inform me that the mechanism or how to proceed with the suggestion? It was in our rules of procedure that for adopting a change of the rules of procedure, it needs to be consensus in the full organization. All 57 member countries need to agree, minus one. It's the same format as on the governmental side. And I put forward that I was not really sure on this. I thought it might be that it was those delegations who attended the meeting that there should be consensus minus one. But I did also say, let's see what it looks like among our members. Because if this is not an issue, if there is more countries who are against adopting than in favor of those who attend, then it doesn't matter because then there is not consensus minus one in that format either. So that was what I said. And during the 2 days, Thursday and Friday, it was obvious for me that there were not a consensus for changing the rules. Those who says that were not in favor of changing the rules, they responded to that what they said, they are absolutely on Ukraine's side. They stand behind Ukraine. So it's not about that. It's that OSCE, the fundament for OSCE is the Helsinki Final Act adopted during the 70s, during the Cold War, where OSCE was founded for as an arena where the two superpowers, US and former Soviet, could meet and have discussions and dialogue, a forum for dialogue to find a way forward for a peaceful solution to not end up in a war. And this also shows by the European Security Order and the three pillars inside OSCE. First pillar, political and security, it means a political agreement. The second pillar with the economy, climate, education, science. The third pillar is human rights, democracy. And this was something that several delegations raised. Some did also say that if we take this decision, will Russia return back? If they don't, we need to have this forum. It's still relevant to have a dialogue for the European Security Order inside OSCE. Otherwise, there is no dialogue because Russia and US need to have an arena just as well as the European countries to meet. And there is no other of these arenas these days as the Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly. They have excluded Russia. There is the day before our meeting, European Union classified Russia as a state of terrorism. There is several other organizations that doesn't work any longer. And what was argued was that we need OSCE in the format. There were others who said that the suggestion was poorly developed. It needs to be also developed further on, because otherwise there is a risk that other countries might be suggested to be on the sanction list. And then the whole idea with OSCE is dismissed, because there is several other countries who also are in a conflict with each other. And if we start to suspend countries who are not on speaking terms with each other, then the whole idea with OSCE will be broken, because we should be an arena to promote dialogue and for OSCEPA parliamentarian diplomacy, and by this contribute to peace. And others were also about the mechanism, how to, because there was also some other parts in it which they wanted to be developed further on. And there were also countries who said, we need this mechanism. We need it as soon as possible. So what I figured out both before and during the standing committee, because that's the format for decision, and the standing committee is that those who have the right to vote is the head of the 57 national delegations who are member of OSCE Parliamentary Assembly. The bureau have right to attend and to speak, but if they are not the head, they have no right to vote. And the head of delegation can appoint another member of the national delegation to vote if they can't attend by themselves. So this is the format. And we had a debate. All delegations who wanted could have the floor. And everybody who spoke, they said that they stand on Ukraine's side. They want and they respect you, have a respect for Ukraine's territorial for national sovereignty. It was clear, even if they was not in favor of the suspension mechanism. And what I did was that I didn't put the suspension mechanism for decision, because if it would have been defeated, it would have been rejected. It wouldn't have been gone through. And I don't think that would be fair in any way. But I sent the suggestion back to the Committee of Rules of Procedure, and I will start the work again. I will also appoint a new committee, because I didn't think the committee should have new members. It should be more extended, so we get more representation in a wider perspective in the committee. And I will not put it up for decision for the winter meeting, because we need to have a very serious political process where the committee reflects, where the committee also have a communication with all national delegations to see if there is a mandate, if there will be a mandate for some kind of suspension mechanism. And then I will put the suggestion up for decision later on, most probably for our annual session in this summer. And if it will be voted against, or if I see that it's not even necessary to have a vote because there is so many delegation against, then I don't see that there is a ground for this sanction mechanism. And why I say this is because adopting a supplementary item, it's majority decision. When it comes to change of rules, it's a consensus minus one. And there is only one issue that I really want to dig to the ground to hear. Is it all member countries consensus minus one? Or is it those countries who attend the meeting consensus minus one? Our secretary, they advised that it's the all number of countries, 57 countries. If that's the case, it will not be a sanction mechanism, because there is two countries who are very much against. If it's for the meeting, there need to be anyway changes, quite big changes of the suggestion that was presented. Otherwise, there is no consensus either. But this, I underline again, it's not that OSCE PA doesn't stand behind Ukraine, because it was obvious at the meeting. And I think this is important to bring with you. And let me also say that there is a huge difference between Council of Europe and Parliamentary Assembly and OSCE PA. We consist, it's not only our rules and our fundament where we were founded once, it's also the member countries. It's 57 countries from Vladivostok to Vancouver. And this differs a lot from European Council, where it's European countries. It's different also in the format for decision. We have not majority decision on this, as PASA have. We have consensus minus one. When it comes to European Parliament and their vote, which was one day before. They have majority. It's first of all on the countries in European Union, and it's a majority decision. It's not like consensus minus one. So it's differ when it comes to the fundamental decision, our rules. They have another different, what should I say, ground for decision. But also, if you look on the ground for how our organization is founded, it's and the member countries, it's differ a lot. So there is three parameters that differs between the parliamentarian assemblies. But I am very pleased that all members stand behind Ukraine. All members also expressed that there is a will to work firmly for peace, to in respect of Ukraine, and also to work after the war to support Ukraine for its rebuilding and stability. I think this is the important message.
You said that the OSCE was created to in the times of the Cold War to prevent the war, the actual war. But we have actual war now in Ukraine. You mentioned other countries that have some conflicts, but even their conflicts, they are not as big. They are not a full-scale invasions on another country as it is in the case of Russia against Ukraine. Is any dialogue possible?
I don't see a dialogue is possible as it looks like now. I don't see it. There is a war. And when it's a war, it's not possible. I could see that there is a lot of different actors. I say actors, it's presidents, it's parliaments, it's organizations, it's not only OSCE PA who have seek for dialogue. There is no dialogue ongoing. And it's war. And it's important to support Ukraine. We, as a parliamentarian organization, we have no weapon to send. We have no money to send. We have only our power as parliamentarians. And that's what I also always say, that we, as parliamentarians, let's use OSCE and our voice to speak out that we support Ukraine, but also use our voice in our national parliament, because we have a unique position inside OSCEPA where we get direct information. We are in contact with Ukrainians. We meet Ukrainians. And we can use this to put pressure on our government to send military equipment, humanitarian aid. We can use this also in our parliament when it's debate. We can use it in our constituencies when we are talking with our citizens in our constituencies. So I think the work we do is very important these days, even if we can't send any weapons, but we can promote for sending both weapons and humanitarian aid.
This year was very difficult for OSCE because of lack of Russia's agreement. There was no consensus, so no longer observing mission in Ukraine, no budget, and no future presidency. Is there even any point in functioning of OSCE at this point?
I believe there is, but I must say I am disappointed. OSCE have difficulties with Russia's, and we're talking about not the parliamentarian, this is on the governmental side. And I see the problem with Russia, as you said, blocking the budget. I have done so before as well. So it's the mechanism with all budget that OSCE is working on. And this is, of course, not good. It means that there is less resources than needed. Russia have blocked the HDM, the Human Rights Conference, with the civil society and the OSCE and the human rights defenders working together. But once again, the Polish chairperson, together with ODIHR, managed to arrange a conference, not a full-fledged HDM conference, but still a platform where it was possible to meet our civil society, to take part and have a good dialogue on human rights. And I think this is excellent arranged. Russia have blocked and ended the mission, the ice on the ground. First, it was the border mission. Then it was the mission inside Donetsk, Luhansk, at the border between there, the ice. But even here, Poland found a way forward to have a political decision from chairpersonship to put a representative in place in Ukraine. It was the ministerial council Even here, did Poland find a way forward? What Russia is more blocking is that the chairperson for 2024, where Estonia is the candidate, and Russia is blocking this as well. And it's important with the incoming chairpersonship, because in OSCE, there is a troika. The troika is the former chairperson, the existing, the sitting chairperson, and the incoming chair. And if there is no incoming chair, there is not the balance on this, and it's make it more difficult to take over as chair. So this is very serious. There need also this spring to be appointment of the Secretary General and the two high representatives on media freedom and the national ethnic minorities, as well as the head of ODIHR. And Russia have blocked and delayed this process earlier. And I don't know what I will do this time, but I hope that I will contribute to a process. But for me, it shows that as Russia is blocking, they must see OSCE as an important organization. Why other block it? OSCE is still relevant. Otherwise, they wouldn't block it. I have represented OSCE PA at several of the permanent council inside OSCE. And I could see that all the ambassadors are there. When it's an important meeting, there is also the ministers. And Russia do also take part here. They're not so often these days with their ambassador. It's a lower ranked person, but they speak out. And I think as long as they are at the table, there is some kind of connection. It's not success these days, but there is always a day after a war. And when these days comes, I expect that the OSCE once again can start to work as it was taught in the beginning. There need to be these kind of platforms also, not only not say when they are needed as most, even if they don't operate, that they should be put out. But if Russia didn't attend the meeting, I mean, they attending the meeting, it means that they see them as important. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. And at the Ministerial Council this year, they attended with their ambassador. It means that they send a delegation. They must found a meeting interesting. Otherwise, they wouldn't be.
I have a question for you. Not as a president of the Parliamentary Assembly of OSCE, but as a member of Swedish Parliament now. I think this topic probably appears also on bilateral meetings on the side of OSCE, NATO accession of Sweden and Turkey blocking it. What's the current state of events, and do you see any hope for ratification?
I do. I know that our government have contact with Turkey. I know that some week ago, did also Secretary General in NATO speak out very loudly in favor of Swedish and Finnish membership of NATO. And let's see, let the process continue. I am sure that there will be ratification. I just hope that it could be the sooner the better. It's Turkey. It's also Hungary. Hungary have for the third time said that they will delay their decision. First, it was should be taken in the autumn. Then they said that it should be before Christmas, and now they say after Christmas. But of course, Sweden and Finland have been neutral countries for a lot of years. But now, with a security issue in worldwide, I would say it's important for us to be member of NATO. We see that NATO is a democratic organization. It's countries in our neighborhood who are members, like Poland, like Germany, like the Baltics, but also in our Nordic area with Denmark and Norway. And we can't stand alone. We need to cooperate with like-minded countries. And that's what we have applied for. And I hope that we can be accepted as member countries. It's only two countries left for the ratification, for we should be members.
Last question. Do you think that OSCE failed because it let the war?
I won't say that we let the war happen. It's Russia who took the decision. It's Russia who is responsible, totally alone responsible, first for the start initiating the war, and now for letting the war goes on. There have been a lot of activities on all different levels to find a diplomatic way to end the war, to find a way forward for peace. It haven't happened. And we will continue to do what we can as long as we exist. And I hope OSCE continue to exist, because I see that we have a role to play. And if I just should say what I have done so far, because I think we need also to work as active as we can as an organization, even if it's if we don't have any weapon to send. I have appointed a special representative for parliamentarian diplomacy, Vice President Reinhold Loparka from Austria. I have appointed a special representative for Eastern Europe. It includes Belarus, Ukraine, and Moldova. It's a member of the German delegation, Dr. Daniela De Ridder. I have appointed a special rapporteur on war crime in Ukraine. It's the head of the UK delegation, Mr. John Whittingdale. This is not related to the war inside Ukraine, but it's for all OSCE, but I think it's important also for Ukraine. It's a special representative on political prisoner. It's the head of the U.S. delegation, member of the House of Representatives, Steve Cohen. We have I have also told given our secretariat in duty, and it has been accepted by the Parliamentary Assembly to draw a plan for action on Ukraine, what we can do, and it's reversed. We have pulled our focused very much on Ukraine during our meetings, our sessions. And every month there have been a meeting where the Ukrainian delegation have taken part on the web and invited speakers, and all members of OSCE Parliamentary Assembly have been invited to take part in the meeting. And this have been a possibility for delegates of OSCE PA to meet with the Ukrainian delegation and get updated on the situation in Ukraine, to be able to use this information in their work back home as national parliamentarian. We have also performed a visit to Ukraine in June. I did it together with a delegation of three other parliamentarians. We visit Bucha and Ukraine, and and Kiev, of course. It shows our solidarity. We have had a meeting, a visit also in Poland, where refugees arrived, to also to make this visible. And we cooperated this with the special representative from the governmental side, Val Ritchie, on human trafficking. I have visited Moldova also, where the Ukrainian refugees arrived. I have been, because when I was in Poland, I noticed that the Catholic Church also contribute a lot. I have been in the Vatican and met with the representatives from the Catholic Church to get more informed about what do they do for the refugees. So we have done a lot inside OSCE. And also let me mention our ad hoc committee on migration, who have just been in Czech, in Prague, to visit Ukrainian refugees. So I see that we are active and doing a lot of activities. It gives also publicity. It gives visibility about what we are doing, and visibility for the situation in Ukraine. And I think this is also an important part, to not be quiet, to speak out, to work for publicity and for support, to show that it's human beings who are the victims. It's children, it's elderly, it's women, it's men, it's everybody in the society. And we shouldn't be quiet about this, because to be quiet, that's the worst thing to be. Then it's to legitimate the war. And we should never be quiet on this. We have also, as organization, taking part and signed the first parliamentarian document on Crimea, the Crimea platform. I am very pleased to have represented the OSCEPA there and signed. I think this is also important steps where we can take. I have taken part in the Baltic Council and spoke out about what we do as OSCEPA and in favor of Ukraine. I have taken part in several other meetings as well, representing OSCEPA, speaking out about our support for Ukraine. And I see this as very important activities on arenas that can be used to show the support for Ukraine should be used. They are all important.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.